I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America.
Welcome to the Forest Fancast, your favourite Forest Fancast about all things Forest in the form of a fancast. I am your host, Mark. Unfortunately, Corey is not with us. I will introduce my partners in crime here in just a moment. But in this episode, we will be asking, did the boys from Berks make the Reds look exactly that in the space of a fortnight? Did Forest get some cash back on Matty? And is the City Ground recruitment team firing duds in their efforts to add to Forest's firepower? All of that and more on this Forest Fancast. Delighted to say I am joined, as always, by my regular contributor, Jordan. How's it going, mate?
Hi, pal. Great to see you again. It feels weird that it's been a couple of weeks, but looking forward to playing Reading again, and inevitably in the next coming weeks. But it's good to be back, and I think we've got a good few topics to talk about, and we're joined by someone very special today.
We are indeed. He's big. He's red. His name is Wes. Big Wes, welcome to the pod, mate.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. I am very excited to be here and spend about 2 minutes to show you the breadth of my football knowledge.
Yeah, we have a whole section dedicated to Wes. We said, Wes, we want you to lay out all your knowledge about the beautiful game and Nottingham Forest in particular. And he said, okay, give me 15 seconds.
Big Wes is back. Big Wes is back. Ooh, oh. Big Wes is back. Big Wes is back. Ooh, oh.
Oh, don't stop. Don't stop.
Stop, don't stop. My exec lounge buddy from Chicago, Wes, is joining us on the podcast. Couple of years after lifting the Premier League trophy for Leicester, he's come to join us. So thanks for joining us, Wes, mate.
Glad to be here.
Without further ado, let's jump into the world that is What the Forest.
What the
fuck? We're gonna mix the format up a little bit on this episode, gents. Rather than going through individually, we're gonna kind of throw this open in a pub style format. We'll throw open a topic, chew it up for a bit, and then move on to the next one. So who's gonna go forth? Jordan, I know you have a bunch of topics to rattle through, so why don't you throw us the first one?
Yeah, no, I'm, I think the first piece for me is just to make sure that we wish Alexander Milosevic a happy 28th birthday on Thursday. Look forward to the tweet from Forest as a former player, that being released on Twitter. Can't think of anyone else that would do something like that, wishing a former player a happy birthday. Worse, actually, I think there was a club that did one for one that was actually on loan. They have never actually owned the player. And he was part of a team that only made the playoff final and they lost. That was Derby with Mason. Derby with Mason Mount, wasn't it? Yeah. Very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. But we'll be sure the Forest Fancast wishes Milosevic a happy birthday later this week. He actually shares a similar birthday with quite a few other Forest players, which is quite interesting. But biggest mistake I had, it was Chris O'Grady's birthday yesterday. So we're recording on Sunday night for those listening. It was Chris O'Grady's birthday last Saturday. So I hope everyone, sends our regards to Chris O'Grady, smashing them in for Bolton as he turns 34.
How can we let the month go by without wishing Milo a happy birthday? Hannah says your gift's in the mail, mate. And as Jordan mentioned, it is a birthday-rific month for Nottingham Forest players with former player Guy Moussy and Big Wes Morgan, in fact. Big Wes Morgan with a birthday. Do we celebrate that? Do we celebrate the birthday of a man who raised the Premier League title with one of our most hated rivals?
We acknowledge it. We don't celebrate it.
Okay.
We just keep it pushing.
So for all of those that want to wish Wes Morgan a belated birthday, just tweet at Big Wes and say happy birthday. And we'll see how many we get.
That's been done already.
How many did you get this year, mate?
Oh, no, I didn't get any birthday wishes this year, fortunately. Oh, I think everybody has pretty much gotten used to me now. That's brilliant, though.
In addition to those gents, on the current squad, Joe Worrell had a birthday this month, as did Ribeiro. The most important birthday, though, far and away, Nottingham Forest legend, solid gold, John Robertson, 67 this month. Obviously, best known for having set up Trevor Francis' goal, securing Forest's first ever European Cup, and then going one better by scoring the winner himself the following year. Absolute gem of a guy. I got a quick story about Robbo, not a very good one, but I'm going to share it nonetheless. I used to work back in the UK, obviously from the UK, and many, many years ago, the work I was in actually brought me into contact with Premier League teams at the time. I was doing a little work, Newcastle and a couple of others, and had the opportunity to get down to Leicester. And it was with Martin O'Neill and John Robertson with the management team there. And I was so excited at the prospect of actually meeting the two of them, John Robertson in particular. And about 3 weeks before I was scheduled to head down to Filbert Street, the two of them left. I think they took off to Celtic. So I was absolutely gutted. That was the closest I ever came to meeting the great man. But happy birthday to John Robertson and all the rest of the Forest players, past and present.
Awesome. So speaking about tricky wingers, and let's move on to tricky accounting. Do you like that transition there? down the A5 too, we've got a bit of a troublesome financial situation for our good friends. And I just want to put a moment of sympathy out there for potentially some points deductions on the way and a relegation battle potentially. You know, we could philosophically send Derby down when we play them again later this season. That would be quite funny, wouldn't it?
That would be utterly devastating. Yeah. What is Wayne Rooney going to be thinking? I mean, Big Wes, you're Wayne Rooney, right? You rock up to Derby, saviour of the Rams, and you could end up playing your football next year in League One.
Yeah, well, the first thing I do is look around and say, why the hell am I in Derby to begin with? After that, yeah, you have to wonder what's going on with the management and what's happening with, you know, administration and why are things so out of sorts here. It's a bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, so what do we know what the latest points deduction suggestion is? I've heard numbers all over the place.
I think it would be safe to assume 12.
Okay.
It'd be safe to assume 12, I reckon. So if I whip up the championship table now, where would that put them? They'd be 1 point above the relegation zone. Wow. So if they went, that would be good. That would be good.
That'd be magnificent, wouldn't it?
That would be good. Magnificent.
And I've got to toss in if it's okay.
Yep, go for it.
Go on, mate.
So we have a couple of couple of lads that wore the Garibaldi at one point that are heading, well, we got one in Atlanta and one heading to Atlanta in Mo Adams and Jake Mulroney. So yeah. If they're listening, I just want to welcome them to Atlanta, give them the stalker alert that I'll be trailing them.
You have been warned.
That's right. But shout outs to a couple of Forest guys that are coming over to America and playing the MLS.
Love that, because I remember Mo Adams, he was playing for Chicago last year, right? So when we went to the game, we sent him a little message before the meetup. So, Wes, it's on you now, mate, to carry on that support out when you're at the Atlanta FC game.
I accept that mission, mate. And I think Jake played after Forrest played a while for QPR, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
Glad to see him heading here.
Well, that's class.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's really nice of you to give the Atlanta police a heads up as well. It's got to be 100 yards, Wes. 100 yards at all times. All right, well, guys, this is seamless. As we're talking of transfers, let's talk Forest transfers.
Good. These transitions, unreal.
Unbelievable, mate. Better segues than that bloke with the beard. Can't even think of his name. Who's the bloke that invented the segue? Mr. Segway? No, it wasn't that.
Segway.
So let's talk about Forest transfers. Unfortunately, not much to talk about as far as incomings are concerned. Well, not much to talk about either way, really, but we did have a couple of outgoings. Jack Robinson slung his hook, went off to Sheffield United in the Premier League for a fee rumoured to be somewhere just slightly south of £1 million, is what I think what we heard, what reported.
Yeah.
And I want to take a moment of silence, of course, guys. I know you were devastated by this news. Finally, one of Forrest's most favourite sons, probably the most capable forward on our squad this season, Rafa Mir, sadly no longer at the City Ground. Recalled by his home team, Wolves, and then quickly dispatched out to Sociedad Deportiva Huesca. I got to say, when you have Sociedad and Deportiva in the same title, it just sounds like a made-up club. It sounds like
one of those
boys' comics. But anyway, Sociedad Deportiva Huesca. And then Mir went ahead and started leading the line in this Spanish second division team, had his debut today, and scored on his debut. Fair play.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe this. Like, basically, he's gone and played 11 games for us and had one assist.
Yep.
Played literally like 90 minutes in the second tier of Spanish football. And he's a bagsman. I can't believe it. I think what this proves is just like that the Spanish leagues are nowhere near the quality that the English Championship's in. But I think he's found his level, lads. I think he's found his level.
Exactly. Well, fair play to him. I was always a Mir sympathiser until the last couple of games where even my patience ran out. But I thought the boy had some skills and certainly lacking in confidence, wasn't he? I mean, his confidence took a hit early doors and he never could really find his feet in the Garibaldi. So fair play to him. And
I've got a good stat actually on Rafa Mir. I've just pulled out his transfer market page. Let's do under and over, right? So
okay,
higher or lower, how many minutes per goal has Rafa Mir had so far this season?
How many minutes per goal?
So give me a number and I'll say higher or lower and we'll try and get there.
Minutes per goal. Well, given that you just said he played 11 games for Forest, obviously a lot of those are sub.
11 league games, 2 cups. So 13 in total he played.
Okay, so I'm gonna say maybe I can only remember him really playing for an extended period of time in a couple of those games. So I'm gonna say 180, 300.
Okay, higher than that, Wes. Higher than 300, mate. What's your guess?
I'm glad I get second guess because I get to shoot a reasonable number. Let's do 420.
Higher, Mark.
Blimey.
Over 420 minutes per goal. This
goodness
is
gracious. 550.
Oh, good. Higher, just.
No.
Wes, mate, you can't tell him higher, just. Bruce Forsyth didn't go higher, just. It's, you got a three. You got a three. Now, the next one's higher. Only just though, Wes.
Got a tap in, Wes.
558.
Lower.
Right, I got this. Mark. 555.
Lower. Ah.
554.
Lower, Mark.
Come on.
552.
Yes.
Get it.
Rafa Mir, 552 minutes per goal. Great effort, son.
Worth every penny. Effort. Worth every penny. Okay, so in terms of boys come in, we have the wonderfully named, now I'm assuming it's Adama, right? As in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Adama Diakabi. I'm going to go with Diakabi from Huddersfield. A pacey, tricky, direct winger who has a bit of a penchant for the spectacular. Sounds like somebody else at Forest picked up.
Yeah.
Huddersfield a while ago.
Tell you what, if our pipeline of Huddersfield wingers continues, we've got our next player of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I went online, obviously, and watched some of his footage. And of course, you know, obviously, only the best bits are going to be in a highlight reel. But certainly like what I saw, and he was pacing. I mean, he has pace to spare. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he can contribute to the team. Wes, any thoughts at all on the lack of the lack of transfer movement? I mean, we've been talking for a while about the need to bring in a striker, and certainly there's been conversations as well about wingers and maybe about another attacking midfielder. Although I think Forest feel like they have that base pretty well covered. We've got the winger, still no sign of the forward. What are your thoughts on that, Wes?
Yeah, so I guess my biggest thoughts about the whole transfer window is, I think this is actually another segue, since we've had such brilliant segues today, is the big one. The big one I think that's on everybody's mind, and what happens to my guy, Matty. As far as the other kind of movements, I'm indifferent. What my eye was really on was what's going to happen to Matty Cash, and I'm really I've read several times that he's, you know, keen on staying with Forest. He really likes being here, and I was definitely hoping that, you know, he'd stay around for a while. So that's kind of the thing I was keeping my eye on.
Hmm. That's interesting. So, I mean, I want to clarify, Wes. So is your position, be great to keep Matty, but you're okay with Matty going?
Well, yeah, well, money's king, right? So players come and players go. I like him a lot as a player for the right price. I'm willing to let him wear a shirt for somebody else, but I was I really liked having him on our squad.
Hmm. What's your position, Jordan? I mean, they're talking about, depending on where you, what you read and who you believe, anywhere from, well, this cracked me up. I saw 15 million from AC Milan, which Forest apparently said no to, and then West Ham swooped in with 12 million. I'm like, West Ham, I don't think you understand how transfers work.
They've always been a bit dodgy with numbers, West Ham, hasn't it? ever since they stole the Olympic Stadium off the Mayor of London, I think they've always done a bit of dodgy business. And
it's like a typical Dale boy, isn't it? It's like, oh, yeah. I'll give you this watch for 50, but I'll give it in for 30. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, mate, I know you've got a deal for 50, but I'll give you 30. Come and get your peanuts. No, I think from where I'm at, if we get 18 million quid for him, we've got Jenkinson, who's back from injury. I feel like Jenkinson could replace him on the right. We get 18 million in the bank and we just sign an unreal winger / striker. Like, I feel like that would be a reasonable amount of business to do in the last 5 days for me.
All right.
Like, if it's that much, I feel like, you know, let's cash in. He's had an unbelievable season. I do feel like if we weren't to potentially go up this year, like, we'd end up selling him in the summer anyway. So I don't know, actually. But I think that's where I'm landing. Okay. It's going to be tough.
Kind of what I'm saying, yeah. I think it definitely has to be at the right price, not to sell just to sell, because he's such an asset to the squad. But I think, you know, if we get the right price for him in the neighborhood that you're talking about, then I think it's worth it.
All right. So, not to be contrary, but just to make sure that we cover the bases and represent the views of all of our listeners, I have to say I'm vehemently against selling Matty Cash.
All right.
I know there are people online who are like, okay, he's had a good half a season. He's not really a right back. You know, easy come, easy go. Forest have a conveyor belt, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Yeah, Forest also have a graveyard of players as well who leave the City Ground and disappear into obscurity, which I don't want to see Cashy do, because I love Cashy. So just on a personal note, I don't want to see that happen to his career. But I also feel like, you know, football is so much about momentum, certainly when you're playing the game itself, when you're out there on the field, but also over the span of a season. And I feel like it just sends the wrong message. And I think that's something that Mushi's come out and said with no uncertain terms this last week, which is, you know, he's not going anywhere. They're holding on to Cash. And I think it's because, again, he looks at it not just as the player is valuable to the club, enormously valuable to the club, but also, you know, we don't need to be a selling club right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive. If someone offered 30 million for Cash, Forest are going to sell up. But it's just the message it sends. Namushi's talked all season long about how good the atmosphere is in the dressing room and how the team is together and how they're being very particular about the guys they bring into the team or the guys they promote into the first team, because they want to make sure they keep that balance and they keep that that good spirit that they've developed this year. And I just think that Cash go, I think has the potential to upset that. And I understand what you're saying, Jordan. Okay, money, yeah. We bring in that striker. But you know what, Jordan? What if we don't? What if that closes and there is no Glenn Murray? There is no Jarrod Bowen. Mm. And all of a sudden we're Matty Cashless, a bit more money in the bank. Boys are now pissed off. So I don't know. I'm vehemently against it. I really am.
Yeah, we don't want to have like that Ollie Burke situation where we just bank the cash to off, pay off wages and other things like that. And I think that's the nervousness I think we all have, especially when you think about João Carvalho and him potentially leaving to also save on transfer fee and monies. Like, I hope we don't do it just purely for financial reasons and then just bank the cash. I think we should bring someone else in if we were to get rid of him. But I agree with you. If it's a risk, and especially now it's getting later in the window. We'll see how it goes. But so he's at his peak.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of the strikers, I know we're still desperate for one. The names that have floated to the surface recently as being the most likely appear now to be Glenn Murray from Brighton. Jarrod Bowen's name isn't really circulating anymore, but I'm going to keep circulating it because anyone who listens to this podcast regularly knows that he's my favourite. And then one that popped up today, it's been mulling around for the last couple of days, but it seems to have actually had a bit of a hard, fast connection to Forest now, is Naki Wells, who is actually a Burnley player, but I'm sure listeners to this pod will know he's been on loan to fellow championship team QPR this season and has been banging him away. I think right now he's something like 13 goals in 26 appearances so far for QPR. And apparently Sean Dyche has said that he has been talking to a couple of other championship teams who are interested in taking Wells on loan for the rest of the season with a view to buy him. And I think that really appeals to Burnley because, you know, they want to get money for him at the end of the year. And it doesn't look like QPR are either in the position to do that or are necessarily looking to do that. I have to say, Jordan and Big Wes, I wish I could be a fly on the wall in Mark Warburton's office when Sean Dyche calls him and says, look, excuse me.
Hey, Mark, none of Forest are interested.
Wish I could be a fly on the wall to Warburton's face at that moment in time. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on those throughout? I guess it's not really three again. I'm driving the Jarrod Bowen bus. But what are your thoughts on Glenn Murray or potentially Naki Wells?
I think both proven at this level. I think the worry for me is they take time off grabbing, potentially. I think they're both good quality strikers, proven in the championship. My worry is also they might need game time for them to score goals in the way that they play their game. I'm honestly buzzing for us to sign no one that we've ever heard of from the Cypriot League, and he just smashes like 15 goals in for the rest of the season. I think that's my like dream scenario out of this. It'd be quite funny. But no, all honesty, I think Naki Wells has been brilliant over time. Always scores against us. So when we get promoted, right? It avoids him scoring against us for Burnley.
Yeah.
And Glenn Murray, I think, would be a good signing. My worry is he's 36 now? And apparently he wants longer than just the end of the season in a deal. So just need to work through whether that's worth the gamble on wages, because I don't think he'd be cheap either.
No, I think
to get us up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
How do you think either one of those guys fit in with grabbing? And speaking of that, and what you alluded to a second ago was kind of my concern, is how do they complement or fit in with grabbing now?
I would say that they are our sub-striker, right? And they'd play up top by themselves and just provide a bit of backup for grabbing, allow us to rest him a little bit every now and again. But it's going to be interesting. I think we need competition for him. We're very light in terms of replacements. Like a grab an injury and our season is like over. So it's a fine balance, right? You need the appropriate quality, but he's on such form, Grabban. He's already on 15 goals in the league this season. You don't want to bring someone else in and cause him to dry up the goals, really. So fine balance for me, Wes, mate. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, no, I agree with that entirely. And I think that's the reason I've been beating the Jarrod Bowen drum, is because I think in Bowen, you'd have a player who could both play instead of Grabban, but also complement him as well, which Diakabi could do. I know he can also play through the middle as well. So maybe that Forest are looking to bring something different in the mix there and give Lamucci an opportunity to change up the formation. Certainly, whoever they bring in, is going to cost a pretty penny. Neither are going to go for a song. Speaking of songs...
Oh, good, good. Love that.
We're on point tonight.
Better. I was a bit late onto this party train for out of Chicago, but props to Adrian Walters, the godfather of NFSC Chicago, released a song this month, earlier in the new year. It's about the ballad of Ian Bowyer, raised up high upon our shoulders, number 8 upon his back. The lyrics are fantastic, really encourage you to take a listen on about one of our probably less unsung heroes. Right, he's not put in the same echelon as the Robertsons, the Francis, the everybody else, pretty much in that team. I don't think he's spoken about as much as he should be. So Adrian's come up with a fantastic easy listen, I'd say. And you can find that at Walters_Adrian. Encourage you to all have a listen of it. Really good little song. Have you guys had a chance to take a listen of that? I see Wes writing it down. He's about to do it later.
Guilty as charged, my friend. I have not had a listen yet, but I'm definitely going to.
Yeah, you can see that. It's decent.
It is fantastic. I agree with Jordan, echo all your sentiments. Absolutely. He doesn't get the same plaudits that, you know, even McGovern or a Shilton do, just fantastic to hear, and definitely brings back a little nostalgia, and got me penning a tune as well. I was texting Tom Wardle, like, Tom, we need a new song for the get together. And I had a little riff. Nice. I had a little riff on Three Lions. And the minute I mentioned that to Tom, he sent me the throwing up emoji.
Oh,
but I'm going to give you a taste of it, boys. I'm going to give you a taste of it. Listen to this. And I still see that tackle by Dawes, and when Carly Moore scores, Psycho belting the ball and Reedy dancing. What about that?
That's all right, mate. I think that's got some legs in that.
Have
that's
some.
Got some legs in it.
I can get with that.
Tom Wardle. What, right. What do you know, Tom Wardle?
I know.
I'm not throwing up. So
that's all right.
Off to a good start.
I think I think that's got some legs in it. We'll work on that between now and we've got 2 months now.
Fair enough.
Get that ready for Nashville. 8 weeks or so.
I think you're pandering to me, but fair enough. All right, boys.
We'll get that, mate. Well,
we jump into the games.
And I've got a shit transition for this, so I'm just gonna go out with it. So a bit of a self-fulfilling ask on this one is I've started to collect jerseys of players that have played for both Forest and Toronto FC. As you're all aware, I live in Toronto now. So there's 5 players: Robbie Earnshaw, Jimmy Brennan, Damien Pacquis, John Bostock, and Robbie Finlay have played for both Forest and Toronto FC. So I think we're leading the MLS Forest Connection League at the moment with 5 players. So I've managed to get Robbie Finlay and one of John Bostock's shirts for this year. I got the Remembrance Weekend shirt off eBay this week. So if anyone knows how I can get hold of a Robbie Earnshaw, Jimmy Brennan, or Damien Pacquis jersey, please holler at me and let me know. I would really appreciate it. Have you guys got any Forest shirts with players' names on the back, or anyone Forest connections to be on your 2 wears in Atlanta right now?
Geez, I have several signed jerseys that are stowed away. I think now I would like if I could grab one now, it'll definitely be a grabbing shirt. I know he's a current player, not a former.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's high on my list of shirts to acquire.
I like that, mate.
Now that I think about it, I didn't think about Reedy from back in the day. I never got an Andy Reid shirt. I'd love to have a Reedy shirt.
Okay, we'll get one of those. You'd be able to fit in that as well, Wes. And
just rack them up, my friend. Nashville won't be long.
Did you get you? Wes must have given you one.
He gave me. As a matter of fact, I got one of his Jamaica national team shirts signed by him.
Oh, wow. Sick. Oh, yeah, because you met him when he was playing for Jamaica, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. When he came to Atlanta, I went to his hotel and stalked him there.
100-yard rule didn't apply then, did it?
Oh, that's right. I was told not to say stalking. I went in and stalked him there.
Class, mate. Class.
That meets the court of required verb.
That's unreal.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Anyway, so... Let's jump into the games then, gents. So we have a bit of a Luton sandwich here with Reading forming our slices of white bread either side. We were joking, though, before we hit record on this episode that covering the Reading game shouldn't be difficult because the two games are essentially identical. So honestly,
can we just lump them into one one review?
I think we probably can. For the first time this season, I think we probably can.
Let's just lob them in. Let's just lob two times Reading in one review.
Before we do that, there is the small matter, and we're not going to spend too much time here because not only was it in the long and distant past, but also it doesn't really bear too much talking about. But Forest went down 2-0 to Chelsea in the Cup. Don't know if anyone can remember that. Goals from Hudson-Odoi after 6 minutes and Ross Barkley after 33 was all it took. And Forest, they rather slunk away from Stamford Bridge, not exactly covering themselves in glory. It wasn't a particularly good game, but I think the result was what we all expected, and that was that as far as FA Cup went this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hudson-Odoi only turns up for the big games. 2 years in a row, he's done Forest over. and he's done nothing anywhere else. No, he's class. And then went off injured, didn't he, I think, again.
Speaking of Cups and strikers, I think we need to get Jason Cummins back to the City Ground.
Oh, mate. Bagged two today.
And I hate Liverpool. That was brilliant.
And all the viral videos that came on afterwards were so funny of him, like, with just messing around in the changing room. So
brilliant. Yeah. I always liked Cummings. I always had a soft spot for him. He was rapid, quick, and when he got hold of a ball properly, man, he had such a sweet strike, but obviously very, very inconsistent. But yeah, I don't know. I always liked Cummings.
Yeah. Fair play, mate.
Anyway.
Fair play.
All right. So let's start with the first Reading game. This was back on, was it January 11th? I think it was. This was Forest at the Meccano Stadium in Reading. Wes, do you have any idea where Reading is geographically within England?
Not until...
Okay, that's like most of us. Moving on.
I was trying to make that somewhat politically correct, but hell no.
Bit of a die game, a bit of a drab affair. Forest, oh, geez. I don't know what you guys did, boys, but I was watching it on my laptop. I threw my laptop up in the air. Thank heavens I had the presence of mind to catch it on the way down again. When Ben Watson, 6 minutes into injury time, struck what looked like Forrest's winner, an absolute peach. And once again, you're thinking, Ben Watson only shows up when it's absolutely necessary. Show you how it's done. But of course, that lead was very short-lived, with Reading notching up their own goal just a little over a minute later with, is it Figueiredo, right?
Figueiredo and goal.
Yeah. Either way, some guy for Reading scored a goal a minute later, and 1-1 was how the game ended. Lads, pick the bones out of this one. Jordan.
Oh, man. So I'll do good, bad and ugly, I think, because we've done historically here.
Yep, let's do it.
Good. The good was that was Toronto Tricky's first afternoon in our new bar, Liberty Commons. Breakfast is to die for. We had an unbelievable breakfast, watching an absolute drab first half. And then, oh man, and then when that goal went in, we disrupted the whole place. There were about 18 people in there having a nice, quiet breakfast to the side of the wall. And we erupted. It was so loud. I think they all looked at us going, oh God, why have we agreed to have these guys in here watching football every other week? Yeah, that was the good for me. The bad was... our darts at half time. So we have a dart board where we watch the games now. We try and do around the world. I got 5. I spent all half time trying to get from 1 to 20 and ended up on 5.
Jordan. So, I'd have kept that quiet, mate. I'd have kept that to yourself. Dartboard in Nashville. We got to have a dartboard in Nashville.
Yeah. you don't, because it'll miss it. And then ugly for me is that just that sucker punch equalizer. It's that hashtag classic Forest feeling of just having so much high of emotion and then just like ripping your guts out kind of 30 seconds later. I was so depressed. Felt lost after that. Couldn't believe it. Wes, did you catch it, mate?
Yeah, so for me, the good was the sheer up. So I'm from a I guess, a social media perspective on my takeaway from the game, because I followed most of it online, of course. And so the good was the absolute optimism we had going into the game.
Yeah.
And that euphoria that we always start out the game with, that optimism. The bad was just kind of trying to keep up online, which is a difficult thing most times, trying to figure out who's doing what at any time. So being, as you guys know, being remote fans, as I call it, is a labor sometimes just to keep up with games, especially you know, when we don't get them at the same speed as you do there. And of course, the ugly was having just that life snatched out of us. And just kind of watching the meltdown on Twitter afterwards is always I hate to say it's an interesting ride, but it is just the most thrilling roller coaster to ever be on.
I agree with you guys. In the second half, we played some decent stuff. Samba, who has been weirdly getting a little bit of stick from one or two Forest fans in certain quarters online, which I'm not having. That's bang out of order. In fact, I just took a screenshot of something on a Forest forum that I saw after the last Reading game, which I know that goal in the last game, which we'll obviously come on to here in a few moments after we've discussed the Luton game, it looked like perhaps Samba could have done more with it, but it was a snapshot through a body of players. I'm not having it all of a sudden. We're going to start giving Samba a hard time after he's had such an amazing season. But I took a screenshot, one laddie on a Forest forum saying, "I think Samba is poor. His shot stopping is weak. He makes up for it with catching most of the time, but he's made loads of mistakes now. Very overrated." I'm like, come on, lad.
Overrated. That's strong.
Showing yourself up.
What a bellend. He doesn't even deserve the airtime, man.
That's why I didn't use his name. I was like, I'm going to use his name and embarrass him. I'm like, I'm not going to use his name because you're bang out of order. Yeah, so I thought Samba did well. In the second half, we picked up and played some decent stuff. And I felt like we were good value for our leads. The bad for me was the number of yellow cards. It was a bit of a chippy game. And I think I don't really remember there being much in the way of chippiness or kind of aggro between our two clubs historically. And certainly was by the end of this match, that's for sure. And that certainly carried on into the next game, which was much anticipated.
Yeah.
Anyway, one to forget, because of course we were going to have a chance to play them again in the space of 2 weeks. And we knew we were going to absolutely pummel them when we met them at the City Ground. More on that in a moment. On to the next game. The meat in our sandwich. Luton Town came to the City Ground. I think I suggested Forest were going to beat them 5-0 because, of course, Luton are the basement boys, the Hatters, propping up the championship. Forest, though, struggled to get going and, in fact, found themselves a goal down to Harry Connick Jr. Am I reading that right? Harry Cornick, sorry. who opened the scoring midway through the first half. Fortunately, Forrest, when it was fortunate, Forrest were able to equalise about 10 minutes later. Joe Lolly, we'll talk through his goal in a moment. I'm going to categorise it as spawny and then ask you guys what you think of it here in just a moment. Early in the second half, Lolly popped up, though, with a second goal, which was far from spawny. Potentially goal of the season before Lewis Graben closed that business in the 90th minute from the penalty spot. So Forest running out 3-1 winners. Convincing, pretty convincing by the end of it. But gents, what's your take on this match?
So this one was a hard one. My good and bad are kind of the same thing. Again, I didn't get to catch this. This is a hard one for me to follow. I had to do everything kind of afterwards. And I agree, that second goal by Lolly was an absolute screamer. I even watching like the replays afterwards, I was literally running around my little office space. So, I was just over the moon with that shot. I'm glad we got it. I was taking a bet, you know, just watching the scores come in and in a bit of disbelief, we went down early, but glad we were able to rally.
Yeah, no.
I just quickly ask you there, Wes, before you became a football fan,
yes,
did you ever use the term in a sports context, screamer.
Not in the sport context.
That is such English vernacular. I love it.
There's several things I've picked up along the way.
You're almost Colin Frey there, my mate. You're almost Colin Frey.
I love that. We are looking for a Chippers replacement now anyway. So yeah. Why should we be able to step up there? Good for me was, I think, Lolly being unshackled. I think we spoke about this earlier in some earlier episodes around the effect Joe Lolly has had to enable Matty Cash to have such great performances. I think this is the first team in Luton that probably tried to keep an eye on Cash by pushing their midfielder higher up on the wing to stay with Cash, that it freed up Lolly to be one-on-one with their left back. Was it Pops or whatever his name was?
Yeah, yeah.
And he just had him on toast all day. It wasn't even a competition, was it? And it was great to see Lolly back to one of his better performances. And bagged two goals. And just look, every time he went forward, it looked like he was going to do something. And it was great to see him kind of being back to kind of where he was every week last season. And it's good to know that he's still got it in him. And yeah, that goal, second goal, was just vintage Joe Lolly, wasn't it? Just cutting in on the inside and just whacking it in. So I think that was awesome. Nothing really for me. Bad was probably just the start. We looked a bit slow. Luton looked like Brazil for the first 10 minutes or so. Yeah. And inevitably scored. Like, it was, they dominated possession. They pinned us back. But we showed good resilience out of it, and they kind of crumbled as we move forward. And the ugly, I don't think there really is much more for me to add. Probably the goalkeeper. We had a replication of Mirić against West Brom at the Trent and goal, with their keeper letting in our first one in. So that's probably was the ugly bit for me in the game for Luton. How about you, Mark?
That was pretty ugly. And you're right, Lolly did make Potts like a potted plant, didn't he?
Oh,
and
he good.
Just strolled good. Around him. It was wonderful. And that that screamer, as Wes termed it, was an absolute beaut. That would have been one to be at the City Ground for.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out as well, though, in terms of our good to Ben Watson and to Samba Sow in midfield, who I thought looked, oh gosh, they were just centurion like, weren't they? I mean, protecting that defense, launching things from deep in our half. So looks like a man possessed right now. I mean, he is terrifying. If I was in any opposing team and I saw his name on the team sheet, I would immediately fake a hamstring injury.
The guy's a Terminator in midfield. He just destroys people, doesn't he? When he retires from football, I'm going to hire him as my bodyguard.
Yeah.
He will literally take anything out of my path. It's unbelievable. He's the guy is unbelievable.
And you know what I like about him? He's unapologetic. You know how some they put a hand down to help the other guy up, or they look at the ref and go, oh, sorry, ref, I called him late. So it's like, flatten. Right, you sort it out, ref. It's up to you.
It's all in the game.
Just gets on with it. Brilliant. Yeah.
The most annoying thing about that performance so did is he hammered about six people in the first 10 minutes, didn't get a yellow card. So I was thinking, right, he's going to get a yellow card here at any point in time. So I lumped on him on Skybet. It was like 9-2.
I saw that.
I was like, I'm going to guaranteed money here. It's almost 5-1 on Samba Sow. Get the yellow card. He's just hammered five people. He's one tackle away from a yellow card. And then he doesn't get one for the whole game. Just cleaned out my Skybet. I can't have nothing left after that.
I saw that. I laughed when you put that up there. That was great.
I used all my account balance left in Skybet. Just cleared out.
Unbelievable. Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, the only yellow cards issued in that game actually were to Luton player. Yeah, Luton players, which is...
if you'd have seen that first 5 minutes, because So knocked five people over. We had a couple of other players that put in some dodgy tackles and we got away with nothing.
Yeah.
It was the ref was a bit shocking. Unbelievable.
Keep doing what you're doing. Don't change a thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
So Lolly's an obvious good, but I got to give a shout out to Watson and So as well. The bad, absolutely our slow start. I think if Forrest could fix what they continue to do in the first 25 minutes of every game and the last 90 seconds of every game, if they could find a way to fix those two components, we'd be top of the league with daylight between us and second. And then the ugly, I'm struggling to come up with anything. It wasn't a perfect performance, but Forest got the job done. I mean, that's, you know, these are the games we've been criticizing Forest, particularly in last season, for not getting the job done, right? They rise for the big occasions, and then these, in inverted commas, smaller teams or teams that are below them in the league come to town, and we don't take care of business. And that wasn't the case. So I'm not gonna manufacture an ugly. The boys got the job done. Fair play. All right, and on to the last bit of our sandwich. This is where I'm going to go ahead and copy-paste what we said about the earlier Forest Reading game and just drop it in here. No, we have to do this one due diligence as well, I suppose. Forest Reading again, this time at the City Ground, January 22nd, our last game. Obviously, no game this weekend of recording. So this was the last match that Forest played, bringing us bang up to speed. Lewis Graben opening the scoring with 10 minutes to go. Looking to have secured all 3 points for Forest. Again, a bit of a scrappy game, not one for the ages. But when Graben scored that goal, I thought, yeah, you know what? On the balance of it all, I think we're good value for that 3 points and shouldn't have any trouble holding on. I mean, the lads aren't going to make the same as... Oh, shit. 83 minutes in. Baldock, again, through a crowd of players who I don't understand what our defence is doing there. I don't understand how you have three men shielding a player and not a one of them wants to take responsibility for attacking the ball. Snapshot caught Samba, I think, off guard and off balance and by surprise. He got his hand on it, but not enough. And that evened up the game. And again, that was all she wrote. Spoil shared, 1-1. Gents.
Yeah, this is another one I think we went in with fairly high expectations. I saw a lot of kind of pregame hype around,
you know, big
this,
time.
Yeah, yeah, that we should be able to walk away with this one. And I don't know if we went in as a team relaxed, feeling, you know, that this game was in hand already and we just got caught off guard, or I really am struggling to kind of analyze what really happened on the end, other than just dumb luck for the goal that Reading bagged. But another one that I guess, if you want silver linings, we can say we didn't lose, but surely, you know, this was one that I expected us to walk away with.
Yeah, I've got nothing to add from what I said earlier. That's gut-wrenching again, isn't it? Oh, man. Yeah. Graben equals bags, man. I think that's the only thing I'll add to that. But...
go with my whole silver linings thing.
Just gutting.
Well, we got to talk through Graben's goal, if nothing else, because
yeah, it was nice.
His finish was, I mean, on point again. Fox in the box, but it was funny. Was it Amiobi who completely scuffed his shot? Cross comes in. He looks like he's going to absolutely welly it. Totally scuffs it like he's some Sunday morning pub player. I love you, Amiobi, but mate, seriously, you know it. I know it. And the ball, thankfully, spins into the path of the one man that you want to have receive the ball 7 yards out. And, you know, Graben makes no mistake. He's had a fantastic season, hasn't he? I was reading somewhere now that he's the first Forest player in, I can't remember, even remember, it's a very long time now to score
15-plus goals in two consecutive seasons, first since Collymore.
There we go.
Yeah. No, well, Sami Amiobi is our highest assist maker at the club, and you saw a pass like that is exactly the reason why it's got six assists this season. He wears the Garibaldi. He is the one and only.
You know, he takes a lot of heat, but Big Wes, be interested to get your take on this. I really like Amiobi. People say he gives up the ball too frequently and, you know, his end product isn't always there, but I always like a tricky offensive player who's trying to do those creative things. He's trying to take on his last man, who's, you know, maybe doing the little step over and the Cruyff turn and whatever else in the attacking third. I'd never have a problem with a player doing that, even if they repeatedly give the ball up. I'm like, well, but yeah, that's what you're paying them to do. You want them to try and do something a bit special. You want them to try and wrong foot the defense and create an opportunity. You don't want them doing it on the edge of your own box, but if they're not going to do it in the attacking third, where are they going to do it? And yet, Amiobi gets some heat for that. What's your take on that?
Yeah, same here. I'm totally with you. My thing is that creativity is risky, right? You got high risk, high reward a lot of times. So when you do a creative tricky move and it works, you look like a genius. And when it doesn't work, you look like a fool, right? So it's all about the payoff in the end. I like the fact that he's a crafty player, and I like the slickness and the trickiness that he brings to the pitch. I just love him as a player. So I'm okay with the times that craftiness does not pay off because I just think, it's a good weapon to have in our arsenal.
Great point, mate. Great point. I think based on that too, Wes, whilst you were speaking, I was also just looking up his season so far. So he's got 2 goals in his first 14 games and now we're at 28 games. So he's due a goal. So if you want another City betting tip, anytime goal scorer Amiobi next time he starts, I reckon he's due a goal. So, but I bet he scores between now and the next time we record.
Yeah, it's a lot of
bit bit of tricky Amiobi. I reckon we're going to get him a goal.
I think you're the last person we're taking betting tips from, my friend.
A little fan cast.
All right, gents. Well, that leaves Forest poised just outside of the top two. Obviously, West Brom and Leeds, neither of them seem to want to win it. Not only they seem not to want to win it, they seem to be daring the teams below them in the playoff spots to catch them up and take over one of those automatics. As Jordan mentioned earlier, the transfer window is almost closed. What do we feel like? I mean, there's 3 games now behind us. What are we thinking in regards to Forest's chances for cementing a place in the playoffs, perhaps snatching one of those top 2 spots? And do we feel like their success this season is entirely contingent on what happens in these last few days in the transfer window?
Well, go on, Wes, mate. You have a start on this one.
Yeah, no. I guess I'm of the optimistic side of this whole thing. I think with the way we're poised now, even if our team stays as is, we've got a good shot at making a run. So I'm extremely hopeful. The thing that I guess most is most interesting to me is that we're having this conversation, right? Because in years past, we celebrated not falling into relegation, right? Now we're talking about promotion. So to me, the fact that we're even having this conversation is an amazing thing. But I think if we stay a bit as is, we have a good shot at it.
Yeah, and that was a point that Lamucci made as well. You know, he was very forthcoming after the second Reading game. I think he spent, I heard it was 9.5 minutes with Chippers pitch side, and got pretty animated and pretty emotional as well, talking about the support from the fans, how important that is, and also for us just to keep perspective and recognize, you know, when was the last time that Forest were really genuinely competing for a playoff place? And it's been some years now, as Wes just mentioned. So, Jordan, what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah. No, I'm the same. I think I'm just so glad we're in the playoff mix. I think we're going to finish in the top 6. I don't think we'll get automatic promotion. And I think the next 3 weeks are critical for us. When you look at the 3 of the next 5 games we've got to play, Brentford away, Leeds at home, and West Brom away, I think those games will really kind of test exactly where we're at and where we end up. So February is just a crazy month for us anyway. I think we've got 7 games in February or something crazy, haven't we? So literally the next 4 or 5 weeks really will signal where we're going to end up. If we lose 3 or 4 of those games, I think we might not even be in the top 6 anymore, given how close it is and as only being, 2 points in the playoffs right now, 3 points in the playoffs. So we could easily be out of it, or we could easily be in the top 2 at the end of this. So I think it's just exciting. Like, every game has something on it now. And that's all we were asking for at the start of the season. You know, we didn't know if Lamucci would still be here at Boxing Day in our episode 1, right? So I think we've got a chance. I think we'll finish in the top 2. I think the next 5 weeks are massive in terms of both signings too and the games I just mentioned.
Let's turn our attentions instead then to Nashville. Jordan, what updates
do you have for us? So Wes became our 100th sign up, and since then he got a little boost. So we're now on 107 people registered right now.
I gotta say that kind of pissed me off. It was clear that Wes was just hanging out, waiting in the shadows, just to swoop in for that moment of glory. I'm like, bloody hell, Wes. Like, you're not already the most famous flipping stateside Forest fan. I mean, let somebody else have a go.
There are no mistakes, mate. Everything's planned. No, it just took a while for me to get things together and get sorted out on my end on some personal things, but I'm glad to be on board. I am super excited about seeing everybody there. And just marveling at the fact that every year this thing grows, right? We are in triple digits now, which is mind-boggling that this whole stateside thing is growing so fast.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. So to help get the 107 people actually there, having signaled their intent, we've got some fantastic raffle prizes that we shared on our Twitter page this week. So we've got a signed Forest shirt, some Art of Football goodies. We've got a couple of boot bags from our sponsors, boot bags. So shout out to those guys. And we've got some of those kind of get behind the lad stickers amongst some other pieces for people to win. So I think we had a very good raffle last time. I think it was a Yates match worn jersey last year. This time we've gone one further by having it signed by everybody. And so thanks to the club and all the various other organisations for helping us out. And for those that aren't aware, all monies raised are going to be split 50-50 as we did last year, a US-based and a UK charity. So that's going to be split between Hope Nottingham and the Boot Bags charitable arm as well. So super excited and some really fantastic prizes to win. So I'm going to try and fix it as much as I can with my tickets winning the whole lot, but we'll see how we get on. but yeah, no, really exciting. It's coming to less than 8 weeks away now. So yeah, I can't wait to see everybody there.
Yeah, I got my plane tickets booked. I got my hotel taken care of. And now it feels real. And I am genuinely very excited. But I'm also very, very nervous because I know I'm getting absolutely blitzed. And I can only imagine what kind of trouble I'm going to get into. What kind of embarrassment I'm going to cause myself that's going to then act as fodder for Jordan and Corey for the next God knows how many months. But certainly I'm looking forward to seeing folks. Might even record an episode while we're there. We talked about that, so we're going to see if we can pull that off. May even have a couple of extra special gifts in there as well. Forest Fancast looking to sponsor a few things as well in the raffle. So more goodies still yet to be announced, and I think it's going to be a fantastic get-together. So looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it.
Also as well, I want to give a quick shout-out to our boy, Match Day with Max. Young Max, who we suspect is probably complicit in bumping chippers at Nottingham, having him hightail it off to Oz. But anyway, but Max, in the meantime, has got himself a sponsorship deal with none other than Mitre. I don't know if you boys saw this news.
I did. Yeah, he was at Liverpool Street. He was. On the cum dog, wasn't he? Yeah.
Congrats to him.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. I mean, we all know Max pretty well, know Forest fans, whether we know him personally or whether we watch his YouTube channel, and so feel like we know him because you see him, you know, pretty much each and every week. And I think maybe we've gotten almost a little passe about it, right? Like, oh yeah, there's Max doing his thing. But when you take a step back from it, realize, you know, this is a 15-year-old lad who has a sponsorship deal with Mitre, who's zigzagging across the country every weekend, doing interviews and covering matches, and you know, is on this path to journalism that I know he's excited to be on. And he's done it all off his own back with help from his old man. You know, a lot of support from the club, of course, from Nottingham Forest as well. I just think it's fantastic. So excited for him on the new sponsorship deal. Fair play, Max, and keep it going, mate. And yeah, chip is down. Any tails, I'm afraid to go, mate.
Awesome. Shall we end by giving Wes a bit of a chance to do a bit of a Q&A with Wes, like we would do in a bit of a regular interview?
Yeah, we can do. Absolutely.
Let's do that.
All right, before we do that, let's get predictions.
I thought I was going to get away with that.
Let's do predictions very quickly. So we're going to cover three games. We've got Brentford, we've got Forest away at Brentford, then we're away at Birmingham, and then we're home at Leeds. So let's rattle through these. You know what? I'll go first. I'll take all three. Then Jordan, then Wes. Right. Brentford Forest. Away at Brentford.
It's a hard one, mate. That's
yeah, I know. One. Like the head says Forest are probably going to slip up there. The heart says not having that. 1-1. Birmingham City, given that this is one of the few victories I can see us having over the next few days, I'm going to go with a win on that one. 2-1 Forest, and Forest leads. Both teams struggling to score, but both I think could have new strikers in the lineups by then. So 2-2.
Jordan. Oh, wow. Desmond.
Yeah.
This is so tough. I feel like we're going to have a return of Sabri shithouse Reds coming back over the next few fixtures, but I think we're going to struggle at Brentford. I think we're going to lose 2-1 at Brentford. But then I'm going to go for a 1-0 win at Birmingham and a 1-0 win at home to Leeds, because I feel like we will try and bounce back and the shithousery will come back. This Brentford game, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. Wes?
Yeah, I got us going down 0-1 at Brentford. I have us taking Birmingham 2-1 and Leeds tied at 1-1.
Okay. Good. Good. So I'm sure at this point we always have listeners screaming at the podcast, go, you idiot! They're probably right. So, all right.
It's all right.
Big Wes is usually one of those. all right. So, boys, we have a couple of minutes left. Jordan, I'm going to hand you the hosting mic, my friend. Go on. What have you got in mind for our big fella there?
Awesome, Wes. So, a couple of thoughts on from you, really. I think people are aware of who you are. Yeah. And you being, you know, one of our biggest fans in the US, but not everyone might know the full story of how you truly became a Forest fan and how you got to know about Forest. So why don't you give us a bit of an insight into how you became aware and then a fan of Forest?
Yeah, really quick. So Wes Morgan has been like 8 years ago now, believe it or not. Close to Wes Morgan was about to play his 400th match for Forest, and Tony, which I'm really good friends with, and a couple other guys were tweeting Wes Morgan congratulations on his 400th match, except they were talking to me, this big Wes, not the big Wes that was playing for Forest at the time. So I wrote back saying, yeah, thank you for all the love you've been showing me, but you guys totally got your big Wes's mixed up. And as they say, it's history after that. After I learned what the hell they were talking about when they were saying congratulations on your 400th match, I asked about being, at that time, an honorary Forest fan, because I had no idea what football was all about. The fans just literally took me in. Pete and Tony and a bunch of guys actually raised some money, put some money together, and sent me a jersey and a hat and a couple of things over.
Nice.
And it was just love after that. And finally made my way over to City Ground. I've been there a couple of times now, and we've got the whole stateside thing going. It's just been one hell of a ride, and I could not be more proud of your Red.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. So you mentioned earlier you live in Atlanta now. Is that where you've always lived, born and raised, Atlanta? Get a bit of pre-Forest Wes background.
Yeah, the life before Wes, before Forest. I was actually born in Memphis in Tennessee, different state from where I live. Now, I've been here in Atlanta almost 12 years, I think, or something close to that. I was actually working as an analyst when I got that first tweet. So I was doing a bunch of spreadsheets at that time. but have been here, and now Atlanta has an MLS team. And so I got to be in the Founders Club for that, because I was already a Forest fan and in love with football and in love with the total game. Then I don't know that I would have been an Atlanta United fan to the level I am now had I not been a Forest fan first. So Atlanta United has Forest to thank as well.
Unreal. And what are your tips for people when they come to visit Atlanta? What should they go and see, have a look at, etc.?
Wow. So the first thing I always tell people is don't ask strangers for directions here, because Atlanta, It's not the we're a friendly bunch, but you have to know who to talk to here. We have quite a few characters in our city. quite a colorful city, I would say. But of course, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where Atlanta United, where our NFL team plays, is just a massive, fantastic building. Definitely have to go take a look at that. My friends who visit from the UK that I get the pleasure showing around the city, that's one of the stops we always make. And then the reason there's a big in Big West is because there are restaurants here like no other place. So definitely try to barbecue while you're here.
I love that. Yeah. And then I've got a couple of quick fire questions, mate. So you're going to have to think of the first thing that comes to your mind. And I've got kind of, five quick Atlanta things to think about. All right. So, Falcons or Hawks?
Hawks.
Hawks. Martin Luther King or Spike Lee? Both famous Atlantans.
Martin Luther King.
Future or Gucci Mane?
Say it again.
Future or Gucci Mane?
Oh, future.
Future. Outcast. Yeah. Outcast or Andre 3000?
Both. What are you saying? They're the same thing.
Both. It's famous. I could have gone on for ages. There's so many Atlanta rappers and hip-hop artists. Anyway,
yes, definitely.
The CN News Studios or Coca-Cola Museum?
Coca-Cola Museum, without a doubt.
Agreed. Final question then, Wes. This isn't a quick-fire one.
All right.
Do you apologize for not answering my DM on Twitter when I was in Atlanta a couple of years ago?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I sincerely apologize. Oh, damn.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, mate.
If I were capable of blushing, I'd be blushing right now. Sorry, mate.
Awesome. And in terms of Atlanta United then, mate, what are your thoughts for the season, given you're in the same division as the mighty Toronto FC?
Yeah, I mean,
give us some thoughts, mate.
Yeah, we've dropped a lot of players here, so the roster is totally flipped over, and I'm really excited to see how this new roster is going to shape out. So some of my favorite guys are gone. Had our captain retired last year. So it's a brand new team, and I'm looking forward to it. And a fairly new – we just picked up, of course, a couple of new players recently. So I'm excited to see how things are going to shake out.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you boys do when Austin comes to town, because obviously we're going to kick both your asses. So.
Bring it, like we say in the South.
The new tricky trees. North American tricky trees. You know, it's a little known fact, Wes. I'm actually one of the few American sports teams. So there are two American sports teams I really follow passionately. I like the Broncos. I definitely pull for the Broncos. But in terms of teams that I'm like actually hardcore about, Dallas Stars is one, because my missus is from Dallas. And so that's my NHL team. And then my MLB team is the Atlanta Braves.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
We'll do a game if you're ever there.
I'd love that. Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the pod. Thank you so much for joining us, particularly at such short notice. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute blast.
Oh, it's good to have you back, Wes, mate. We're all kind of thinking about you after you're away. So really good to have you back, and look forward to seeing you again in Nashville.
Same here, mate. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, Jordan. Awesome. It's been a blast, mate.
R.I.P. Kobe, man. See you, gents.
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast podcast.